And welcome back to Thursday's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper planning his return to the program, and we do hope it's very soon. So joining us now is Cordon Bleu chef, author, syndicated columnist, and friend Linda Gassenheimer. Welcome, Linda.
Great to be here, Bonnie.
What's on the food truck today?
Lots of food. How about what's in the food studio today? Food trucks come and go, Bonnie. A few have created a huge following, while others are simply just closed shop. So our guest today not only created a successful food truck, but has taken it to another level. He has brick-and-mortar restaurants, and he's chef Michelle Sanchez. He's from the Latin House Grill. He's here to tell us the secrets of his success and also how he won awards for the very best burgers, which we have right here in the studio. Welcome, Chef M.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Great to have you with us, and thank you for the food. Phones, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have some questions or comments about food trucks or maybe how to make a great burger? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Or radio at WLRN.org for email, or you can tweet us at Topical Currents.
Of course, also with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us, I think, by phone today, yes?
Yes.
And you can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns that are in the Miami Herald. And you can also read his wine column that is now on Saturday, in the new food section on Saturday in the Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking?
Well, I thought since you're talking about Latin American food, I might talk about Latin American wines. And, of course, that crucial topic of what kind of wine goes best for the burger.
That's very important. We knew that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Chef M, you were one of the first food trucks out there. So how did you create your food truck?
Well, we got into the food truck industry. It was absolute luck. We were at a moment in our lives when it was out of need that we went into the business. My mom, my wife, and I, we sat down and we said we needed to make a change after so many years of kind of a downward spiral that I was going through. And we decided to go to Orlando, and we found a trailer that was available. We put everything into it and brought it down that day, painted it up, and headed out to the streets.
Now, had you cooked before that? Had you been a chef before that?
I had cooked for my family my entire life.
Oh.
My stepmom was a pastry chef. My mom was with a restaurant for 28 years. My uncle is a chef at those same restaurants. But I was more the family cook. I would go out to eat dinner with friends and family, and I couldn't believe the amount of money that they would spend on food. And so I said, you know, each couple give me $100 and we'll go and I'll cook it better myself when we got home.
Okay, well, watching the movie Chef, it was about a food truck. I was amazed at how the young boy brought hundreds of hungry fans to the food truck through social media in that movie. So how did you create your following?
Well, social media is exactly what made us who we are today. It wouldn't have been the kind of turnaround that we had or the kind of reaction we had if it weren't for social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram allowed us to go to different locations and just tweet and say where we were going to be. Before, just years before, you'd have to stay in the same spot the entire time. And so you only had a certain amount of crowd that would go through that street, but you had to stay there. If not, they wouldn't be able to find you.
Mm-hmm.
So with social media, it kind of opened up the world to us.
And you told me you had an incident or an experience when they were filming the film Chef. Here.
Well, actually, at the first showing of the film in South Beach, we were invited to the viewing, and we were roped off in the center. We happened to be the first ones there, and so they sat us right in the middle of the theater, no one else. And as they let all the other patrons in to watch the theater, they saw us three, and it was myself, my wife, and our son. And everyone, oh my God, that's them. That everyone thought that the movie was actually based on us. And after we watched the movie, during the movie, it was we got goosebumps. I was crying. It was such an emotional thing for us because they really showed what we went through and all the trials and tribulations that we went through to be able to get where we were at and how hard it was. And it's not... They showed the glamour side, but they also really showed just how down and dirty.
I don't think people realize that you get up at 4 in the morning, you got to get your food going, you got to get everything going, it's hard work.
Absolutely.
It's hard work. Okay, so we talked about your burgers, and we talked about your winning 3 years in a row from the Burger Beast, and then you won another time from the Burger Brawl. Well, first of all, what is the Burger Beast and Burger Brawl? What are they?
Well, the Burger Beast, he has, Burger Beast is a local blogger. His name is Seth Gonzalez. he has an award ceremony once a year, and they're called the Burgies. So for 3 years in a row, we won the best burger in Dade County for the Burgies. Then he kind of wanted to one-up that and create an event called the Burger Brawl, where he brought restaurants from West Palm Beach all the way down to the Keys, and 22 restaurants competed head-to-head and see who had the best burger.
Now, who judged that?
It was everyone that attended had a vote. So it was all of the everyone in attendance got to go up to.
So it was like a popular.
Well, it was an actual taste. So people wasn't. It wasn't just based on, you know, okay, you're cool, you're not. It was actually I'm tasting. People took it as a challenge to eat a bit of all 22 burgers.
So what makes your burger so different?
I like to say it's mad love. It's our secret kind of saying. But in reality, what it is we use Creekstone Farms special blend that is actually ground for us of three different brisket, chuck, and sirloin. Meats, and then it's our special blend of seasonings and spices. We don't
give us a little hint. We've got it right here in front of us. I've got my hand on it, and I've taken a bite out of it before. Give us a hint of what your special blend is.
Well, I think the ultimate secret is just to handle the everything with care. Not overwork the meat. You know, just kind of fold it lightly into it, and not stretch out the fibers, and so you don't get a very rough, you know, tight bite. But as far as blend-wise, it's, you know, of course there's salt in your peppers and a little bit of hint of paprika and a little hint of chipotle powder. And it's got some other stuff in it, but...
Yeah, Linda, you're asking him for his secret formula.
Well, yeah. Just tell everybody he's going to give us his secret to success, all right? So so what is it?
Show it to all. But at the end of the day, it's definitely just the care that we take and the separation.
Well, it certainly is delicious. It's got some lettuce on it, and it's got what else?
Well, the champ, the one that won it, was the three cheeses, grilled onions and mushrooms, the honey-baked bacon, and then we also put a candied jalapeno on top with lettuce and tomato.
That was in addition to the burger.
On top of the burger. Exactly.
Well, you've brought some other burgers here. So tell me, I thought this one over here was delicious. It had almonds. Would you call it the French burger?
That was one of our first creations was the French, which is a sliced almonds blended with honey and melted brie on the burger. And I had actually
just some sliced almonds, like 2 inches of it. I mean, it's an amount. Almonds.
You have to have the flavor on it. But what I found it at a cocktail party, a big wheel of brie with honey over the top and almonds and crackers, and they put it out of the oven, and you go in there with the cracker and you eat it. And it was a wonderful blend. And I said, this would taste great on a burger. And it's actually our top seller is the French burger.
Bonnie's sitting here with the biggest smile on her face.
Well, I didn't taste it because, you know, but I tasted some of the components. But it just sounds like, an amazing combination of
it
flavors.
Is. Yes. But the other thing is I like the one with the guava marinade. What is that?
That's our Cuban burger. And we use a queso blanco, which is a white Caribbean cheese, and a house-made guava marmalade on top of the burger. And again, it's that sweet and that savory together that create such a beautiful blend.
And when you walked in with this, everybody in the studio here came.
Ran out. There was a line out the door.
I had brought more than these, by the way. I just couldn't get out of the car to get to here. There were more, I promise.
Let me tell you, I had to save some for us, Bonnie. Now, there's one more burger here. What was that?
Well, here on the front, you also have the American, which is the classic cheddar, bacon, lettuce, and tomato. And then the Mexican, which is the pepper jack with the pico de gallo and the crema mexicana.
What is crema americana?
It's a Mexican version of sour cream. It's a little bit more runny, so it's not as thick, a little bit more tart, and it makes everything better.
But you make your own.
We actually bring it in-house from a Mexican company in Little Mexico, which we call Homestead. They actually do our tortillas and our Mexican crema.
Okay, so I don't want you to think we're just eating burgers here.
Right.
There's a rice here that is really delicious.
Rice is delicious.
What is it?
That's called our chuchi rice. And it's my mom's recipe, which is Teresa Chuchi Perez. And this is her recipe.
Oh, that's her name.
That's her name.
So, I thought it was an ingredient.
Linda. Well, the chuchi is her nickname, and she's been given to it ever since we started the truck. And she hasn't given me the recipe, so it's still her recipe.
Oh, she still makes it.
She still makes it. She makes the sofrito and everything for it for both restaurants. And... it's like the secret. It's one of our secret to everything. Our chimi burrito, our chuchi bowl. It's definitely something very unique and very flavorful.
And Mom won't give the secret recipe.
No, she says she's going to take it to the grave. Yes, she needs to hold on to something from it. So,
well, Mom, it really tastes good. It was wonderful. Now, You started with your food truck, and you were telling me what the long hours were and how hard the work was. So how did you get from there to a restaurant?
Well, our goal when we started the truck was definitely to get to a restaurant. But if you open up a restaurant, you have to kind of hope and pray that people come and you know, you stand outside and please come. And you're lucky enough to get in front of someone to do so. But with the actual restaurant, with the food truck, we were able to get such a loyal following and a fan base, 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 on followers. And so when we opened, all we needed to do was use social media and say, we're here.
Where did you used to go with the food truck? I mean, I guess you went to different places, as you were saying, but did you have some main...
We had our daily spots that we would circle around every week, and we would go to it. And then we would do events from Food Truck Invasion, which was a promoter, Steve. He would put the events together. Burger Beast would do other events, and we would go to that. And that would be like a gathering of food trucks. But we were lucky enough that we could actually stand on our own, which was really nice. We would park, and there would be 50, 60 people in line waiting for us to just open the windows, which was amazing to us back then.
Well, how did you handle that with the long waits? Because I was watching the chef, these long, long lines of people, and you're cooking to order.
Right. And we were cooking to order. My mom was on the flat top. My wife was taking the orders, and I was finishing the plates. And it was more of an entertainment. People were there to see the show of you know, my mom's and I interaction, which was hilarious because it was on the truck. She wasn't my mom. I wasn't her son. We were constantly going at it. My wife and I, it was people would go and enjoy themselves, and we would talk to everyone, and it was an opportunity to see that instant gratification of taking a bite of something you created and seeing their faces. It was incredible. That made all the difference for us.
I just have one question before we go to break, Linda, which is, Michelle, would you say that doing the truck and getting up at 4 in the morning and all the hard work, isn't it just as hard to have restaurants now?
Absolutely. It's different now. Now it's more of a mental challenge. Now we have 48 employees. Now we have much more overhead. Now we have a lot more bills to pay.
A lot of responsibilities.
It's changed. Mm-hmm. Now we have a lot of families to be responsible for. Yes.
Right. Well, I think we need to take a break here. I'm Linda Gassenheimer talking with Latin House Grill chef. We call him Chef M, but his name is Michelle Sanchez. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Michelle Sanchez. He's the owner of the Latin House Grill. It started as a food truck, and he's moved it to two brick-and-mortar restaurants. And along the way, he won several Best Burger Awards. He's been giving us tips on how to make the best burgers, and I've been filling myself up with these wonderful burgers for sure. Before we move on, I wanted to mention that the James Beard Foundation is having a celebrity chef tour dinner, and it's going to be held at the Biltmore Hotel on Saturday, September 20th. Now, the James Beard Foundation supports scholarships and educational opportunities for culinary hopefuls, so it's really a worthwhile dinner, and it's going to be featuring some Miami chefs. And for you wine people, it's going to have Rodney Strong Vineyard Wines. The Tom Klein family has owned these vineyards for 25 years, and it's a celebration of that. So great dinner, great cause. That's September 20th at the Biltmore Hotel. And it's dinner in minutes. So I thought we might not have a burger for dinner in minutes, but it's a Cuban-style dinner, and it's mojo glazed steak with quick rice and beans. Now, mojo is a garlicky condiment, and it's a marinade, and it's used in many Cuban recipes, and there's so many versions of it. It's usually made with the Seville or sour oranges, spices, garlic, onion, and oil. But happily for us, you can find it already bottled. There's several different kinds in the supermarket. So I sautéed some skirt steak, about 3 minutes per side for medium rare. That's 145 degrees. Cook it longer if you want it more well done. I mixed mojo together with a little orange marmalade to make a glaze. So you take the steak out of the pan, put the glaze into the pan, and just warm it through and thicken it, and put it over the steak. So easy. And now black beans and rice, usually made with black beans, are soaked overnight and they're slowly cooked. But for this one, I made a quick one. Boil rice. Now, I always like to boil rice like pasta in a big pot of boiling water for about 7 minutes. And then for 3 minutes, I'll add in some chopped onions. Drain that, place it in a bowl, and toss that with some rinsed and drained canned black beans, some olive oil, salt, and pepper. Easy, quick, Cuban-style food. The complete recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's @LGassenheimer. Fred, what are we drinking?
Well, when you're talking about Latin American food, it makes sense to drink Latin American wine, and there are certainly plenty of good ones out there. In fact, you can start with Mexican wine, unknown to a lot of people. About 2 hours south of San Diego in Baja California is the Guadalupe Valley, which is Mexican's excellent quality tourist Ruta de Vino, which is the wine route. And there are dozens of wineries there. They're desert vineyards, fully irrigated. The growing list of top wineries are growing all the world's warm weather grapes, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Zinfandel, Nebbiolo, you name it. Among white grapes are Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Semillon, and Viognier. And Baja's oldest existing winery, Bodegas de Santo Tomas, was founded way back in 1791. And today it makes Chardonnay, Cabernet, Barbera, Merlot, and Viognier, and some of them sell for over $50 a bottle. It's you don't see them for sale a lot in Miami, but you can find some of these wines at the internet, wine.com. And it's worth trying out. You can be the first one on the block to try it.
That's interesting. I had no idea that that area was a wine country.
Yeah, if you have enough altitude and some irrigation, you can grow grapes almost any place, it turns out. And, of course, farther down into South America, you can buy really good, inexpensive wines in Chile and Argentina. Chile makes really nice Chardonnay, Merlot, Sauvignon Blanc, and that sort of thing. And Argentina makes two unique wines. There's a spicy, aromatic white called Torontés and a soft, fruity, very consumer-friendly wine called Malbec. And they both have the spice and the intense fruit to go well with spicy Tex-Mex fare, if that's what you're doing. And these wines you can find in any big American wine shop. Now, Michelle, I wanted to ask you, you have a very unique menu in your restaurant. Can you tell us a couple of good wine matches for some of your favorite dishes, maybe one of your prize-winning burgers or something?
Well, absolutely. For the seafood side of our restaurant, we drink a bottle that's called Kono from New Zealand. It's very crisp, refreshing, and it's one of my favorites. And then for the burgers, like you mentioned, a Malbec goes very, very well, but also a nice dark craft beer, which is very popular also at the restaurant from either the Brooklyn Breweries or the Sierra Nevadas, definitely go very great with it also.
So you have some beer that's got a little heft to it, not just your regular light beer and that kind of thing.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, I even heard one food critic said that if you have a hamburger with ketchup, you need a sweet wine like Shiraz, and if you have it with mustard, you need a tougher wine like Cabernet Sauvignon. So I guess you can get as particular as you want to.
But he has lots of stuff on his burgers. I mean, they are loaded.
I started with food trucks, and I don't know how this works. Can food trucks sell wine or beer in Miami?
For private events, when we're hired as a caterer, absolutely, we do beer and wine, and then but as far as being on the street selling it, no, you can't.
Oh, I see. You have to be on private property.
Private property, private event, like the Wynwood once a month event that we do. You can definitely do beer and wine there,
but that's not a private.
But we're on a private lot, and so it allows
private
you
property.
Private property to sell it. They grab it, put it in a plastic cup, and continue their way.
So if you happen to be one of the food trucks on the main drag there, Northwest 2nd Avenue, you can't.
You
but
can.
If you're in that lot, you can.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And can people just stand in the street and drink? Is that allowed here?
In plastic glasses, absolutely. Yes. Depending on the event and depending on what they're doing. But most people bring their own beer to whatever event that they have. They bring a cooler. They order the food. And they make a family night out of it. They have the picnic table or the picnic basket and have a nice drink, a bottle of wine or a nice beer.
Sounds good to me.
So
let's go back to, you were on Guy Fieri's, what is it called, Drive-Ins and Dives. Tell us about the show and what was like being on that.
The experience was incredible. He was great. The whole production
team. He's
the
one with the blonde spiky hair, in case you can't remember anyone.
That's him. Full of energy. It was definitely a great time. They filmed for 3 days.
Down here. They came down here.
They came down to Miami. They did the lobster lollipops, the chimi burrito, the vaca frita, and the champ burger. So it was a lot of fun doing that with them. And it's helped us out incredibly. It's changed We're much more known, and people come from all over the country because they have a map of where Guy has been, and they come to Latin House.
Oh, isn't that really amazing?
Cool. People actually drive the country following Guy?
They follow his steps, which is very, very cool. And they go on the...
Oh, that's a powerful guy.
Well, if you go on vacation and you're in a city and you want to know where to eat, you go online and you check out where he's been, and then people go to that location. So it's not like, you know, people from California driving through the country to get here, but if they're vacationing in Miami, then they come and eat at our location.
And so how did you hook up with Guy?
Because of our stalkers. We call them stalkers, but they're...
Stalkers?
Stalkers.
What is that?
It's our fans, our people that have been with us from the beginning. They would follow us home when we were in the food truck, and as we were pulling into the house, we noticed that people would pull up next to us, and they were lowering the window. We were scared.
What did they want?
They wanted more food. they would ask us, "Hey, do you have anything left?" And so that was that's how the name Stalkers. And on our T-shirts, it actually says "Stalkers Welcome." So we tried to make it a term of endearment, not anything negative.
Where are your restaurants located?
We're located in South Miami on Sunset Drive and 95th Avenue, and we just opened our new location in Pembroke Pines on the corner of Pines Boulevard and Palm Avenue, in the Doris Italian Market Center.
So he's got two restaurants.
Yeah,
right?
Two.
But okay, so you mentioned a lobster lollipop. What is that?
Lobster lollipop is either the Maine or the Florida lobster, depending on the season. We take it and we take the tail and we tempura fry the chunks of the tail, creating the head with the body and the tail on actual bamboo sticks. And we serve them with different dipping sauces, like our candied jalapeno.
So you make a fish out of it?
No.
The head and tail and whatever.
Well, all the meat in the tail we use as the lollipop part. But we use the head and we put it in tempura also. And people like
the actual head of the...
Of the lobster.
So you serve it with the head?
With the head and with the tail. It's a beautiful plate. If you can go online on our website and see it.
I'm thinking holding a lollipop.
Well, you grab the stick and then you're grabbing the actual tail meat on a lollipop stick. But the actual whole lobster's on the table.
Wow. Yep. Okay. Now, you call your food Latin fusion. So what did you mean by that?
Well, because a lot of people, because we have Latin in the name, it kind of throws people off. Latin is what we are because it's what's in our blood. But the food itself is something so unique and so different that you can't get it anywhere else. It's Cuban, it's Mexican, it's American, it's has a little Asian twist. It's just what I enjoy to eat, what I enjoy to create, and when we sit there and you know, at home with my wife, coming up with different sauces and different dishes.
I was wondering how burgers came into the Latin House Grill.
Well, I love eating burgers, and to me, if you can make a really, really good burger, I think you have something special, and something so simple and so unique can make such a difference.
Did you have a question?
Well, you have a certain dessert.
Yes, we do. Our signature dessert, it's called our balls to the wall. And
we won't ask you to say that again. Okay.
It's our triple chocolate fudge brownie that's rolled into a ball. And then we actually dip it in funnel cake and we fry and we put sweetened condensed milk and powdered sugar over the top.
Wait. You dip the
actual triple chocolate brownie half baked into funnel cake. And then it turns
into a ball. Funnel cake batter.
Correct.
Okay.
And then we fry it and it turns into a beautiful puff ball. And then we drizzle the leche con ensalada and the powdered sugar over the top.
All right. On that note,
yes.
It's been a very tasty week. Chef M, Michelle Sanchez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
The Latin House Grill locations are on the intersection of Pines Boulevard and Pembroke Pines and Palm Avenue, and on Sunset Drive at 95th Street. And thank you so much for all this wonderful food.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Bonnie, you ate well today. You had a smile the whole day.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, Fred, too.
Next week will be a special 9/11 broadcast, so we won't be on. But in 2 weeks, we'll be back with Esquire restaurant critic John Mariani. He's going to be talking about the latest restaurant trends. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.